St. Sed's College, Cambridge, the College of Coleridge, and the College of Sir Isaac Newton, renowned inventor of the milled-edged coin and the cat flap.
The what?
The cat flap, a device of the utmost cunning, perspicuity and invention. A door within a door.
There was also the small matter of gravity.
There was that as well, I suppose, though that, of course, was merely a discovery. It was there to be discovered. Lend me a penny.
Huh. Yep.
Thank you. Watch this.
Hey!
See, they even keep gravity on at weekends. Someone was bound to notice sooner or later.
Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency by Douglas Adams.
Mr. Challey, nice to have you back, sir.
Bill, how good to see you.
Well, last time I saw you, you were being led off. Anyway, that's all behind you now.
Indeed, Bill, I've repaid my debt to society. You find me thriving. And Mrs. Roberts, foot still troubling her?
Oh, no, sir, not since the amputation. Between you and me, sir, I'd have been as happy to have had her sawn off and keep the foot. Oh, incidentally, Mr. McDuff, sir, that horse you mentioned last night, I'm afraid we had to have it removed. It was bothering Professor Chronotis. RSPCA were going to sort something out since the owner scarpered.
The horse had an owner?
Foreign gentleman, I think, Mr. Chelly. Sort of a monk. A bit odd. Fred had to tell him to shoot off.
I've known Fred use more colourful expressions. To me, particularly.
We couldn't be gratuitous, sir. Not with a man of the cloth. Shoot off was the best Fred could muster.
Well, thank you, Bill. I hope it didn't disturb you.
Nothing ever disturbs me, sir. Unless it's wearing a dress. Can't abide it when the young gentlemen wear dresses, sir.
Ah, dragging the subject away from transvestism, as far as I know, you mentioned Professor Chronotis. Is he here at the moment?
I think so, sir. I can't check for you, because his phone's out of order. I suggest you go and look for yourself. Far left corner of second court.
I know it well, Bill. Thank you. My best to what remains of Mrs. Roberts.
A most kind, sir.
This is D.S. Jilks of Cambridgeshire CID, Friday 26th of October, 5:48 p.m. Commencing taped interview. Yes, Jilks. He's with me. Well, just recharge the extinguisher and send a junior PC to clear it up. No, son, there's been no revolution. Then take her portrait out of the bin. Commencing taped interview in pursuit of Gordon Wave murder inquiries. Those present are here. Subject has waived legal representation and refuses to give a name.
Electric Monk Revision B.
You're an improvement.
You may have complete faith in a Revision B.
I can't tell you how relieved that makes me. Now, on the evening of Thursday, 25th of October, were you in the vicinity of Elmden?
You may put me to the rack or tie me to a stake and pile burning logs at my feet. I would be deactivated sooner than deny it.
A simple yes will do.
A simple yes is not in my programming. To believe, to adopt, to worship, to have faith so purblind it would rather ride the parched pink deserts of Pleiades V on a pissed-off horse than entertain the infinitesimal flicker of a doubt. This is what it is to be an electric monk.
And to endure the ramblings of a half-wit in a hoodie hoping to cop an insanity plea, this is the lot of a 21st century copper. But back to the murder at hand. Did you or did you not on the evening in question conceal yourself in the boot of a silver Mercedes saloon and shoot Mr. Gordon Way?
It was my duty.
Are you extracting the waste liquid, sir?
I was given clear instructions and took my opportunity.
Instructions?
To shoot off.
Right. I suggest we backtrack a bit.
Detective Sergeant Jilks, the faith which moves mountains, or at least believes them against all available evidence to be pink, is a solid and abiding faith.
Seems to me that your faith is responsible for most of the problems we're currently dealing with. When we brought you to this police station, you stated that the chocolate machine in the lobby was a relic worthy of veneration because it rewarded its faithful worshippers with confectionery. But on closer inspection, you were disappointed to find that it required feeding with sacred tokens in order so to do.
You don't have...
I haven't finished. The baptismal fire extinguisher was no less a disappointment. Ditto the holy water cooler, the waste basket of impure thoughts, and the miraculous icon of Her Gracious Majesty upon the wall, which failed to perform anything miraculous despite half an hour of you wailing at it.
It is not easy to find a subject worthy of adoration. You, however, you have promised me nothing except cold looks, rudeness, and sarcasm, and have proved as good as your word. I have resolved to worship you and sacrifice myself upon the altar of your bountiful displeasure.
If only it were that easy.
Detective Sergeant Jilks, I love you. You are my savior. I heart you. Clasp me to your bosom.
Tate paused at 5:56 p.m. to fetch subject a glass of water. Now listen to me, son. This old brother act might go down a storm in whatever bug-infested quack basket you've escaped from, but it doesn't stir my mug of Darjeeling.
Oh, I am cleansed in the fires of your disdain.
Recording resumed at 5:57 p.m. So, you shot Gordon Way.
At the time, it seemed the correct thing to do, O Lord. I was quite clearly instructed to shoot off, and I felt strangely compelled to obey.
Right. Interview terminated at the end of my tether.
Is the confession over, O bucket of frankincense?
Oh, yes.
Then my sins are forgiven.
Come. Sit down, whoever you are. Just making some tea.
That would be most kind. We are two.
Two? Indian or China?
Indian, please.
A milk?
Please.
One lump or two?
One, please. And two sugars.
Oh, flat jelly, good heavens. Well, that was quick work, young Macduff. Well done. My dear fellow, how very excellent to see you. How good of you to come, my dear Slat.
Dirk Gently is the name under which I now trade. There are certain events in my past from which I would wish to disassociate myself.
Oh, absolutely. I know how you feel. We live in interesting times. Actually, dull times, but dull for interesting reasons. Most of the 14th century was pretty grim.
The 14th century?
Oh, sorry, I meant the 1980s.
Oh, of course. Big hair, padded shoulders. Not you at all.
Did I ask you if you wanted any tea?
Yes. We spoke about it at length. I think we agreed in the end that we would, didn't we?
Oh, excellent, excellent. My pleasure, too. Yeah. Oh, by happy chance, there seems to be some ready in the kitchen. Oh, you'll have to forgive me. I have a memory what are those things you drain rice in?
Very interesting. I wondered if his memory might be poor. Is this where you found the note about the salt cellar?
Yes, tucked into this book.
A guide to the Greek islands. And this, with the abacus, is the table where you found the note.
Yes, it's still here. Look.
Regard this silver salt cellar. Regard this simple hat. Richard, I want you to talk me through the exact conjuring trick Reg performed at last night's Coleridge dinner.
Right. Reg and I were sitting at the high table. Somebody further up had returned from holiday and brought their little daughter. She had found an ancient pot on a beach in Greece and brought it along. The Dons dismissed it as nothing very special. They weren't very kind. She lost interest after that, but the professor felt sorry for her. He left the room to fetch a hat, then came back ready to...
The professor, noticing she was bored, performed a trick.
Young lady, regard this simple salt cellar. Regard this simple hat.
He smashed the pot she brought and revealed a college salt cellar inside it, a trick that could not be possible.
Unless it was some sort of prior collaboration between Reg and the little girl. But I don't think it was.
Of course it wasn't. I would have thought that was perfectly clear.
But why would he write that little line down as if he needed to remember it? And is the book on Greek islands being here just coincidence?
Coincidence? Richard, have you learned nothing of the holistic interconnectedness of all things? Coincidence is the surest indication that nature has combed off the highway of logic and put you firmly into a transdimensional contraflow. I would like you to ask our friend how he performed the trick.
I thought you said you already knew.
I do. You saw him do the trick. You must ask him how he did it. Believe me, there is an astounding secret hidden within it. I know it.
Here we are.
Professor Kronotis.
Oh, Reg, please.
Very well, Reg.
Sieve.
Oh, make up your mind.
The thing you drain rice in is sieve. I was trying to remember the word, though I forget now the reason why. But no matter. Dirk, dear fellow, you look as if you're about to explode. Why don't you sit down and make yourself comfortable?
I'll pace up and down fretfully, if I may. Richard?
Yes?
Oh,
yes. Reg, well, I'd be interested to know how you did that conjuring trick with the salt cellar last night.
The conjuring trick?
Yes. The conjuring trick.
Oh, well, the conjuring part of it, I'm not sure I should... magic circle rules, you know, very strict about revealing secrets, very strict. Impressive trick, though, don't you think?
I was quite taken in.
Oh, you liked it.
It was very impressive, and I can see why it's impossible for you to tell me. I'm sorry I asked.
Richard!
But I don't understand how a salt cellar got embedded in the pot.
Oh, it didn't take any conjuring skill. I nipped out for my hat, you remember?
Yes.
Well, while I was out of the room, I found the man who made the pot. Took some time, of course, about 3 weeks of detective work to track him down, and several days to sober him up. And then, with difficulty, I persuaded him to bake the salt cellar into a pot for me. After that, I briefly stopped off somewhere to find some powder to disguise the suntan I'd acquired. Of course, I had to time the return carefully so as to make it all look natural.
What on earth are you talking about?
I thought you said you knew my secret.
I do. Richard, as yet, does not, though he furnished all the information I needed. Let me fill in a couple more blanks. In order to help disguise the fact that you'd been away for weeks, when, as far as anyone was concerned, you'd only popped out of the door for a few seconds, you had to write down the last thing you said, in order that you could pick up the conversation again as naturally as possible. A vital detail if your memory is no longer what it was, yes?
I've almost forgotten what it was, but yes.
Then, there's the little matter of the questions that George III asked. Asked you.
Ah.
Dirk, who told you that?
You did. Under hypnosis. I have Miss Pierce's notes. You see, the King asked the Regis Professor of Chronology if there was, and I now quote, any chance of getting paid this month, you... Oh, sorry, here. George III asked if there was any particular reason why one thing happened after another, and if there was any way of stopping it. Reg, did he not also ask you if it was possible to move backwards in time or something of that kind?
That is precisely what he said.
Which is why the answers were yes, no, and maybe, in that order.
You may have the correct answer, but I'll need to see your workings.
This is a moment of rare humility for me. My secretary suggested I ask a child, so I found one. I told him the story of the trick and asked him how he thought it had been done. And he said, and I quote, it's obvious, isn't it? He must have had a bleeding time machine. I thanked the little fellow and gave him a shilling for his trouble. He kicked me rather sharply on the shin for mine. Not only did he provide the solution, he even saved me the bother of kicking myself. Reg, where is it?
Where is what?
The time machine.
Oh, that. We are standing in it.
It's about changing our phone account. Yes. No, my boss signed us up for this special offer from the electricity board to provide our phone services. Yes. And he's got the water board providing our gas, the gas board providing our electricity, and I want to sort it all out before somebody blows himself up trying to order a pizza. Hello? Don't stop and believe it. Hello? Mr. Gently, are you back from Cambridge? Is that you cutting me off? Mr. Gently? Oh, has he left a cat in here?
It's me, Gordon Way. What's left of me?
Oh, the phone's off the hook.
Put it back in the cradle. Took me an hour to move that thing.
Push.
Miss Pierce, I'm dead. You can't see me, but try, damn it! Hello?
Somebody out there?
Pay attention, you silly bit!
Hello? We're closed. Hello?
No, I'm in here!
Closed, and so is the knocking shop on the top floor.
Stop it. I'll do this another way. Excuse me.
Freezing draught up these stairs.
Professor Chronotis, who are you?
I have absolutely no idea. Much of my memory's gone completely. I'm very old, you see. Startlingly old.
This room, the sofa, the table, how long has it all been...
Here? Oh, just about 200 years, ever since I retired.
You mean you've been in the same set of rooms here for 200 years? You'd think someone would notice.
Oh, that's one of the delights of the older Cambridge colleges. If we all went around mentioning what was odd about each other, we'd be here till Christmas. Dirk, my dear fellow, please don't touch that just at the moment.
What is it?
It's just what it looks like, an old wooden abacus.
How does it work?
Any way you want it to. Never really understood that bit, to be honest with you. But I simply plonk my abacus down there, and it understands the way I use it. far easier to use than a video recorder. If I miss a program, I just pop back in time and watch it.
You have a time machine and you use it for watching television.
Well, frankly, I wouldn't use it at all if I could get the hang of the video recorder. But plus, of course, it mucks up the telephone. I'm sorry, Richard, that you were unable to phone your young lady last night. Every time I use the time machine, the phone goes haywire, and I have to get some lout to come and fix it. Anyway, the point is that I have a very strict rule that I must not change anything in the past at all. Whatever the temptation.
What temptation?
Oh, it's just a little thing I'm interested in. It's perfectly harmless because I stick very strictly to the rule.
But you broke your own rule. You changed something in the past.
Oh, but that was different. If you'd seen the look on the poor child's face, so miserable. She thought the world should be a marvellous place, but all those appalling old dons were pouring their withering scorn on her because it wasn't marvellous for them anymore. No, no, that was perfectly justifiable.
Reg, may I give you a little advice?
Oh, of course you may, my dear fellow. I should adore you too.
If our friend here offers to take you for a stroll along the banks of the River Cam, don't go.
What on earth do you mean?
He means that he thinks there may be something disproportionate between what you actually did and your stated reasons for doing it. However, I do believe there was a reason you invited Richard to the dinner last night, and that reason was his friendship with me. You wanted to see me. Why?
You remember when you arrived this afternoon, I said that times recently had been dull, but for interesting reasons?
Vividly.
Well, the truth is that for many weeks I have not used the time machine at all because I had the oddest feeling that someone or something was trying to make me. I had to fight it very hard indeed because it was trying to make me do something I actually wanted to do.
Is that what you were afraid of last night, upstairs?
Oh, it was only that rather nice horse, so that was all right. I expect it just wandered in when I was out getting some powder to cover up my suntan.
Oh, and where did you get that from? I can't think of many chemists that a horse would be likely to visit.
Oh, there's a planet off what's known here as the Pleiades, where the dust is exactly the right...
You went to another planet to get face powder?
The actual distance between two points in the whole of the space-time continuum is infinitely smaller than the distance between adjacent orbits of an electron. It's a lot less far than the chemist, and there's no waiting about at the till. I never have the right change, do you? I think you may be right in what you're thinking, though. It was a fairly major operation in time engineering, just to cheer up a little girl. Maybe the ghost. We are talking of a ghost here, aren't we?
I think we are, yes.
Another ghost.
I beg your pardon?
Later, Richard. Please continue, Professor.
Well, it's possible that the ghost caught me off my guard. I was fighting so strenuously against doing one thing that it easily tripped me into another.
And now?
The ghost left me last night.
And where, we wonder, did it go? Richard, what was it that got into you to make you climb the wall?
You thought that I was under post-hypnotic suggestion from someone.
Post-hypnotic suggestion? Or possession?
Possession?
Oh.
Hypnosis and possession work in similar ways. You can be made to do all kinds of absurd things and will then cheerfully rationalize them to yourself. But you cannot be made to do something that runs against the grain of your character. You will fight. You will resist.
Yes! I did put the tape back. It all seems suddenly very stupid.
Exactly. You wouldn't do it. So, what do we have? We have a ghost that wants something done, looking for the right person to take possession of to do it for him. Now, Professor...
Reg,
may I ask you something personal? I'll understand if you don't want to answer, but I'll just keep pestering you until you do. Just my method, you see. You said there was something that you found to be a terrible temptation to you, that you would not allow yourself and that the ghost was trying to make you do. It would be very helpful if you could tell us what it is.
I will not tell you.
You must understand how important...
I'll show you.
Right, Wolfgang, it's mano a womano, just the two of us. Hello?
Susan, it's me, Gordon, I'm a ghost.
Hello? I think I'll leave it off the hook. No, put the answer machine on, Susan. Richard might need me.
It's 2 in the afternoon on a perfect spring day.
Spring? In October?
Depends which hemisphere, young Macduff.
And I just opened this door.
If you would, my dear Dirk.
I've seen some things in my time. This, however, takes the entire packet of rich tea.
That's some trick.
Oh, it's real, I promise you. Come out and see for yourself.
This is a perfectly ordinary Cambridge professor's door frame with a perfectly ordinary Cambridge professor's door wide open in it, standing free in the open forest, with Reg's rooms visible through it.
Come on, this isn't what I wanted to show you. You need to come out here for that.
The one night of the week I leave my machete in the laundry basket.
Here you come. How about that for a view?
Wow! The Pacific?
The Indian Ocean.
It's rumoured to be just as wet.
Is this Madagascar?
Mauritius.
What on earth's that? Good God!
So what's the great attraction here? Very nice in its way, of course, all this nature, but I'm a city boy myself.
Shh!
Look at you with your funny face. Do you need something to eat?
Look!
Where?
Exactly the thing. Hold on, don't...
Just in front of the doorway. Richard's found one.
I can see Richard, and I can see a large, cross-looking bird defying him to find its beak even remotely funny.
Come on, look. I've got a cracker from Reggie's kitchen.
It's not a parrot.
It's not a parrot. Yes, I see that now.
It eats the nuts of the calvaria tree. There are one or two on the ground behind you.
Look, Dirk! A dodo!
A dodo. A dodo? You come here for the dodos in your time machine.
I only come to look. Really, it's not for me to interfere.
This is a dodo.
He's funny. This is a very funny bird.
Yes. One of only three left at this time. The year is 1676. They will all be dead within 4 years. And after that, no one will ever see them again. Oh, come, let us go.
Excuse me, sir, can I help you?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you. Mr. Wenton Weeks, isn't it? Officed you at the fountain during a rag week. Did you find out who put you in there?
No. It's Professor Cronotis in his rooms.
Well, bugger if I know, Mr. Wenton Weeks. His phone seems to be in a blink again. Sure, must be near 20 years since you were here.
No, I've been visiting a lot lately. Weeks, months, microsecond blinks in the diurnal cycle.
Biggie Bond?
You've not known oblivion. Not for centuries at a stretch. It seems only minutes ago that these walls were built. It seems an eternity I spent wandering across interminable mud, wading through ceaseless seas. Imagine my horror when slimy things with legs began to crawl from those seas. And now you walk around as if you own the place and complain about the phones.
Huh? Need help with your suitcase?
No.
Oh, be like that.
Oh, what's that point? Can't sleep, can't eat, can't have fun. There's only so much entertainment one can invent. Being dead. Oh. A young woman covered in blood running out of a huge house in Eaton Square. Reality entertainment. And in such a posh neighbourhood, I can sit on the bonnet of this Bentley, enjoy the spectacle and feel comfortably superior.
Did you call for 999, miss?
It's the lady opposite this way!
Right, Morris Coburn, follow me! Humphrey, you stay here, be ready to call for backup!
Call Inspector Poirot! Call Miss Marple! Call anyone but that plonker, Dirk Gently! One of the few pleasures of being a ghost is not having to deal with people like that anymore.
Excuse me, can you help me?
Another is a certain knowledge that being invisible, one will not be bothered by strangers looking for directions.
Gordon, will you stop chuntering on to yourself and pay attention?
What?
Gordon, it's me.
Lady Magna? That's you in there?
My son did it.
Excuse me?
Rather messily. He's about as useful with a meat cleaver as he is at editing a magazine.
Michael?
You know, now that I've told somebody, I feel a burden has been lifted. Yes.
Hey, no, wait a minute. No, don't go. Hey.
Goodbye, Gordon.
Take me with you. You cow. Oh, my God. Michael's stalking Susan all the time. Susan.
Murky out there. Somebody is crossing the quad carrying a heavy-looking suitcase.
Dirk?
In the last 12 hours, I have encountered two more ghosts than I actually believe in.
Richard, even the sceptical mind must accept that if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, we have at least to consider the possibility that we have a small aquatic bird of the family Anatidae on our hands.
Then I would like to know what you consider this duck to be. Ghost.
I think that a ghost, or duck if you will, is someone who died either violently or unexpectedly with unfinished business on his, her, or its hands. Who cannot rest until it has been finished, or put right. Which is why a time machine would have such a fascination for a ghost, once it knew of its existence. A time machine provides the means to put right what the ghost believes went wrong in the past, to free it. Which is why it will be back. It tried first to take possession of you, but you resisted, and then you, Richard, appear on the scene. The ghost deserts Reg and concentrates instead on you. As soon as you do something that you then wish you hadn't done, the phone call to Susan's answering machine, the ghost seizes its chance and tries to induce you to undo it, just to see if it was in your character. If it had been, you would now be totally under its control. But at the very last second, your nature rebelled. And so the ghost gives you up as a bad job and deserts you in turn. It must find someone else. Does this now make sense to you?
Yes. I think you must be absolutely right.
At what moment do you think the ghost left you?
When Michael went and Weeks walked into Susan's living room.
I wonder what possibilities the ghost saw in him. I wonder whether this time it found what it wanted. I believe we shall not have long to wait. Professor Chronotis, do you have any brandy, French cigarettes, or worry beads in your room?
No.
Then I shall have to fret unaided.
I'll go. Michael!
Hello, Richard. Do you mind if I put this suitcase somewhere? It's rather heavy. Full of scuba diving equipment.
In episode 5 of Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency by Douglas Adams, Harry Enfield played Dirk Gently, and Billy Boyd was Richard McDuff. Olivia Colman was Janice Pierce, Felicity Montague, Susan Way, and Michael Fenton Stevens played Michael Wenton Weeks. Toby Longworth was the Electric Monk, Robert Duncan played Gordon Way, Jim Carter was Jilks, and Andrew Sachs played Professor Chronotis. Andy Seacombe was the Porter, and John Glover was the other Porter. Tamsin Heatley played Lady Magna. The announcer was John Marsh. The music was by Philip Pope. The programme was dramatised by Dirk Maggs and John Langdon. Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency was produced by Joe Wheeler and the director, Dirk Maggs, and was an above-the-title production for BBC Radio 4.